Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, that I'm so late.
I told you to take your time. I mean, you know, we've got to have a little breather.
I'm sorry.
Let's the 34th meeting on the House Committee on Community and Regional Affairs come to order. Today is May 6, 1987. The time is 3:17. And let's record show that Representatives Cato, Collins, Herman, and Springer are in attendance. Constitutes a quorum. We have today on the regular agenda two bills. That is the committee substitute for Senate Bill 162 and House Bill 286 and Joint Resolution 23. Why don't we take up the one on the fish tax? That is 162 CRA amended first. We had an identical bill passed through the committee on April 9th, was House Bill 226 that passed with unanimous two-pass recommendation, and the CS for Senate Bill 162 has it's in your file. The changes or the differences are highlighted in the back in yellow. I don't think there's anything of consequence that is substantially different. So I don't see any reason why we can't pass that out, and I would entertain a motion to that effect.
Did you have a question, ma'am?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just wondered if this raw fish tax would have any bearing on the HB 58 that we passed last year, the raw fish tax of the state to go to processors, shore-based processors, and that the municipality or whatever can also contribute to it. Does this preclude this in any way?
No, no, not no. That I know.
No. It's the same bill as, you know, my bill that we had on changing the numbers, like 5% for borough formation.
Got it.
That's primarily, if I recall that, it's primarily in reaction to what the Eastern Illusion establishment of a borough wants to do with it.
Okay.
I'll move
it.
Committee.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion to move the bill. Any objections? Okay, so ordered. I think Senator Sturczulski, who's sponsoring Joint Resolution 23, is on her way over. And
Henry McCurley from the Department of Commerce is here, and he's the one who developed grant applications for this resolution. So maybe you could ask him.
Start first, right? Okay, so give me the sign-up sheet, then.
Anybody want to talk about ANWR?
What aspect?
We have. How we get 20 senators to agree on it. Mr. Chair.
Okay, that's the record shows that Senator Sturczulski has joined us. We're just waiting to take up committee substitute on Senate Joint Resolution 23. That's endorsing the application of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for a Rural Development Assistance Demonstration Grant. And that's all right, small stuff.
Small stuff. Don't sweat it, huh?
So I give you the floor here if you'd like to tell us what it's all about.
Fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a year where we pass resolutions. We don't pass legislation. I guess you've noticed that, haven't you? But seriously, early in the session on the Senate side, I did, and it was concurred in, introduced a resolution that called for the establishment of a committee that would look at local and regional economic opportunities. And in other words, to try to find positive things we could do to help the both the public and the private sector to get some things going in this state. And we're very pleased when we found that the Department of Commerce and Economic Development had has applied to the Federal Economic Development Administration for $1 million grant. And it would be, although they have to work through their proposal to do more work on it, it really would be to assist rural areas in really looking at economic opportunities. So this is a pretty simple resolution. It just says that we would like to help you, administration. We think that if we can bring those additional funds in and it can assist areas of rural Alaska in developing their economies, we'd like to have a part in that. And that's very simply what the resolution is, and I'd be very happy to respond to questions.
Thank you, Senator. Has everybody had a chance to look at it, or you'd like to have some time? Has anybody got any questions?
Mr. Chairman, just one other thing I'd like to point out. When we had the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs before us, we really took a look at some of the rural assistance grants and community block grants, the job training. There's been a lot of talk about how Community and Regional Affairs and their work and Commerce and Economic Development could work together to really start to develop some things in rural Alaska. And I think this is just a part of it, but there seems to be a spirit of good cooperation to try and do some positive things in terms of rural development. So I applaud their effort.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. It's number one, timely, not just from the standpoint that the rural areas are in an economic difficult situation, but also with the new administration and saying that basically our Department of Community and Regional Affairs should take a different direction in regards to that. So I think that fits together really well. I agree, it looks like a pretty straightforward resolution. Anybody got any more questions? Okay, we had enough on the floor, so we might as well get going right here.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass out CS Senate Joint Resolution number 23 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Any objections to that? We're easy committee, so move.
No.
Thank you
Thank
for coming
you, Mr.
over.
Chairman, I appreciate that.
I'm not
going to
say.
I know now how we get bills through. We go immediately from the floor here and then tell you guys you can eat after we're done here. Okay, then the last bill we got here may or may not need a little more work. It's House Bill 286. That's at the request of the governor. It's an act establishing the Rural Governance Council in the Office of the Governor and providing for an effective date. What there is a transmittal letter from the Governor to the Speaker of the House. There is a fiscal note, and there is a position paper by the Commissioner of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. I have not looked at that in detail, I admit, and I don't know if the other committee members had a chance to look it over. If I read it right, what it is, I think it was based on a promise by the present governor during the campaign to look into the problems with government in non-organized or non-borough areas. And the proposal here is to create an 8-member council consisting of the chair of the local boundary commission, 5 residents of rural areas, 1 resident of the state, and there's an ex officio member, a non-voting member, the commissioner of DCRA. All of them are going to serve at the pleasure of the governor. We have Doug Griffin from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs here with us, and why don't you go ahead and make your pitch?
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, you're entirely correct that this is a concept and idea that is a personal one to the governor, and one that he's mentioned, I think, before the election and several times since. I know in late February, before the Village Participation Conference met here in town, that in an address to that body, he again emphasized this idea, this concept of forming some type of a group drawing on the talent and the people that know the real world out there in rural Alaska. And that's, you know, that's basically the whole basis of many of the boards and councils we have, is to draw on the professionalism and the innovative talent of people outside of government, to try to bring them into the process and make use of their talents through boards and commissions. And certainly some boards and commissions are better than others. I think a lot of it's important to know, to have a good clear idea about where you are heading and what you want to do. But I think in the campaign, the governor did encounter situations in rural Alaska where he felt there was an undercurrent of discontent in local government, that and somehow the state structure of second-class cities and the unorganized borough was not satisfactory to people. And even after the Title 29 change that was passed a couple of years ago, they're still, either they don't know enough about what the possibilities are with the existing system, or that there is a real problem with the system. But nonetheless, that he thought, the governor's feeling, I think, is that we need a highly visible group drawing from people that are respected out in rural Alaska with their knowledge and accomplishment in the area of government in rural communities or in small city settings. And that this is a perfect time to address this concern because of the transition that everyone in the state is facing, with the lack of state dollars, and in many instances a reduction of federal dollars as well, and that there is the whole idea of needing to try to refocus what local governments and rural governments can reasonably do, and what services they can reasonably perform given the limitations they have out there. So basically that's the concept and that's the idea, and I don't know if I can really go into more detail about what the council is going to do. I don't want to really preordain what their agenda will be. I think generally all I can say is that they want to look at how rural government is performing in rural Alaska, how government is performing in rural Alaska and in small towns, and whether in fact there are a lot of other sort of related issues, many that are sitting in this committee right now, the sponsor substitute for House Bill 1 that looks at creating more regional governments. Certainly the funding for revenue sharing, municipal assistance, the reduction in capital project funding, all those things are certainly going to have a bearing on government, and particularly those in rural Alaska, which oftentimes don't possess the tax base and sort of the flexibility that large municipalities may have. So I think those are all the types of things that this council is designed to do. It is designed to involve the Local Boundary Commission, which is, again, another body, another commission council that draws from sort of the common sense of good Alaskans. The other people are designated to be in the residents of rural or small Alaska or small communities. And then our Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs serves more, again, he's given a non-voting status, mainly as just to be someone that's there to provide information, to sort of let people understand the constraints that may be placed on the system because of laws and statutes and regulations and other considerations. So he's there, I think, probably going to be acting more as a moderating force, maybe saying, yeah, that's a good idea, but there's a problem with that because of this limitation. So I think basically that's the idea. It's designed to be a council that does its work, and then is, I think, that the intent is certainly for it to be sunset after a couple of years, that it's not to be an ongoing body. We'll have a set agenda of some things that they want to do, some recommendations, perhaps proposed legislation that they can produce and bring back before the governor and the legislature for consideration at a future time, and provide just basically a means for local residents to sort of solve their own problems, the people in rural Alaska to deal with their own problems, rather than having us within state government try to decide what it is they need. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that members may have.
Any questions, Commissioner Griffin?
I don't know this question, Mr. Griffin, but it's quite kind of a question to all of us. In establishing this new council, are we overlapping into other areas of other boards and commissions or councils? think that's something we need to look into very carefully.
That's the same question myself, yeah.
And as I say, I don't know whether it's a question to you or not.
Mr. Chairman, I think it is a valid question. I think certainly the inclusion of the Boundary Commission, and let me back up a little bit. The thinking originally was, too, to perhaps have the Boundary Commission do some of this work, you know, have them serve as the body. It's a very prestigious body, and to the extent that it's a constitutionally mandated body, it's very clear that the Constitution of the state calls for them to be a very independent body to participate in local government issues. But I think the governor felt that he wanted something a little bit more directed toward the rural areas, and the kind of the compromise was to at least have the chairman of the Boundary Commission serve on this. So I think there certainly is overlap with that body, and we try to address that by having the chairman of the Boundary Commission serve on this group as well. But I think there very well could be. Some overlap certainly with just what the function of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs is, and I think we are designed to be providing staff support and technical support to this group sort of as an ongoing part of our responsibilities within the Department of Community and Regional Affairs.
Mr. Chairman, I'm having a little problem basically seeing what the charge, I know what the charge is to the Boundary Commission, and I can recognize where the chairman of the Boundary Commission would be very helpful on this committee. I don't see the overlap there. Mm-hmm. But I have a little problem with a distinct charge. I mean, gather information until it comes out your ears. And I'm just, the charge of it, of the council. What exactly are their duties? It says, they shall solicit and collect information, testimony, and documentation regarding economic and local governance issues. That seems kind of vague to me for a charge. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think the way I read it, the task is it's envisioned by the governor as a two-year body to make what it says right here, report its findings, make recommendations to the governor and the legislature in order to assist the governor and the legislature in reaching fair and equitable solutions to economic problems and problems of local governance in rural areas and small communities of the state. I would assume that it falls into several categories like the effects of House Bill 1, school funding, different loan programs, fisheries enhancement, the judicial problems in the Bush dissolution of a municipality, some of the issues which we have at least in some way dealt with. There's a whole complex out there with different questions and issues, and I would assume, looking at the fiscal note, that it self-destructs after fiscal 89, and that would then help in formulating some of the legislature and administrative directives and procedures in those subject matters. And I think it's the goals and tasks I can see, because there's a multitude out of them and they're not going to go away. As a matter of fact, you know, this committee is trying to wrestle with some of them.
Mr. Chair, I think my problem was that is the charge specific enough? There's local governance issues, and I don't know, maybe what I'm looking for is something in there that says, I don't know, it just seems...
Yeah, I think there should be some more specific identification of issues. If we want to wrestle with the sovereignty issues or the role of IRA councils in state government, you know, some more defined things, not just really loose generic terms like they're stated here. I mean, that could mean anything. You can go from agriculture to to missionary work. I mean, anything can be in here.
Yet I don't have an answer how to change it.
I think the way I don't think we're going to look at passing that bill today, because I think there are some pretty complex issues involved. What I would like to do is have an opportunity for other members that are interested in the Bush Caucus members to look the bill over, make suggestions. I think just point out that is, in my opinion, a fairly consequential bill. Has there been anything similar put in the Senate side?
No, Mr. Chairman.
And I don't think the governor is expecting us to have that ready in print for signature by the 18th, right?
No comment.
Mr. Chairman, inasmuch as it's a 4-year term, this campaign promise probably could be carried out a little bit longer than the 18th.
Yeah. At least it was not one campaign. A game promise that was off, right?
I thought all bets were off.
Okay, we're not trying to put you on the spot.
I know.
Representative Herman.
I don't think it was in his campaign speech that he made this. It was in his State of the State or State of the Budget or something. Yeah. He would address this issue. And you know, it was real vague when he was talking about it. Nobody knew exactly what he was talking about. And so this looks like it's, you know, a good start. But I have some questions for
Doug.
You know, when they had the Rural Development Council, remember that group? You know, they had, I forget how many people they had on there, but they had a whole bunch of people on there. And I know I saw them addressing some issues, and I don't know if they had minutes to that or what, but I think that we can look at that kind of information. You know, I think there's probably a lot of information. You just bring people back to the table again and start going over it. You know, I noticed in a lot of people's resumes that have worked on community regional affairs issues that they do all these papers, and you know, that's real good information. And I think we have a lot of this information here, and I'm kind of concerned, like, once you start a committee like this, and then other, you know, people that aren't in the geographical representation, you know, they have concerns. And then I also have a concern with the chair of the local boundary commission on there. You know, if you're going to talk about, you know, how you're governed, and in the meantime, this, you know, this boundary commission was being sued, you know, because of the way people wanted to govern themselves, and they're working on the issue. It's kind of like a conflict to me, but maybe they should be on there because of those things. I don't know. I think that's all. Oh, and then, you know, there's going to be a bunch of things going on with Commerce and you guys, and seems like there's one more agency there. Hopefully not the labor. but anyway, it seems like we should kind of wait to see how all that fits, you know, kind of shuffles out, you know, how they're going to work with economic development.
I got some. Anybody else before you represent?
I think Representative Herman makes some really good points, and I am concerned, and also with regard to, I think Representative Cato's concern is perhaps there's some redundancy here in terms of, you know, what all is going on. And as Representative Herman mentioned, there there's a lot of effort in among the different departments to address all the problems in the rural areas, and it might be that this is premature in the sense that we might not want to start it now and then have it lapse in 2 years, but maybe start it in another year so that this information that's being generated can be reviewed. And I think at that point in time, be able to look at the whole thing in context.
But looking at the bill, it's simple enough, but it looked to me like you guys tried to beat the deadline, because we got to do something. And something's better than nothing. I've got a couple observations. Number one, of course, these days everybody looks at cost, and while I don't think the cost is overly excessive, $50,000, I just have a feeling what we don't need at that time is another body, another council or another commission floating around, because I feel there are two things. Number one, we got a whole bunch of bodies now which could help in that task. For example, there are regional mayors conferences now all over, there is AFN, there are regional meetings and statewide regional meetings from different native organizations, we got city administrators and municipal league, they're all bodies that are already there in existence that have all the expertise in the world already in place. And it would look to me that if the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, which attends most of those meetings, would get in touch with those bodies and put a goal or a program together, what is contained in that bill, and put it on the agendas when those different bodies meet, you can get a real cheap feedback with all the same information that a 8-member commission, I think, would would be charged with. And if you use $50,000 to help those type of bodies that are in place on a non-biased basis, that would help them out. And I think you would really achieve the same thing, and then the department could go and compile the data and make the report. I think the expertise is there, and I think there. I just don't think that you can duplicate the expertise of some of those groups I just mentioned in a six-member body. You know, we're going to have five people and one person. You know, besides the commissioner who is there no matter what. And the chair from the local boundary commission is there no matter what. So it looks to me like we could do it cheaper and probably more comprehensive than establishing another group. But that's just an opinion I'm throwing out without having it thought out all that well. Another thing I have, in question to that, for example, we're talking about five residents of rural areas or small communities appointed based on a geographic representation. Do you want to declare geographic zones so that is identified right from the start, so we don't get in that hassle, where you say, well, there are too many people from the North Slope area or too many from Southeastern, like we get into right now with the ports when we say we're talking about geographic area. I think it would be probably easier just to pre-identify which geographic areas we're talking about, and then one comes out of those areas. I think that would be fairly easy to do. We got a good analysis from the election office and from your office how the population distribution in relation to land masses. Another thing I feel is like on line 17, page 1, the chair, who's going to be a designated chair, is a resident of the state. That's a pretty loose definition for appointing a chair. I personally would prefer to have some other qualifications or perimeters established, like, for example, it should be, I'm not saying it needs to be a rural resident at that point, but it should be somebody who has at least lived for a number of years in a rural setting and probably should have some understanding of government affairs of some kind. Otherwise, you can pick anybody off 4th Avenue and put them in the seat and say that that's his resident, that's the qualification there. So I think what, unless there are any objections, I think we need to do some homework on that. And I like to get some feedback from House members that are interested. I also like to get with my counterpart over in the Senate CRA committee with Senator Sturczulowski and see what she thinks about it or what that committee thinks about it. But I really don't see, and I don't think there was any great urgency either, mm-hmm. just looking at the way that bill probably could have been written in the first evening of when the administration started. So the submittal date indicates to me that it didn't have any really, really high priority. Any other questions or comments for Mr. Griffin or?
Well, I just have to make a comment. I think that the idea, I think that the governor was, here I am supporting the governor. Everybody can know that. No, I mean, I think that the idea that the governor, I think, might have had in putting this together was a good one in terms of making sure that whatever things, come down, that there has been some participation so that there's a clear understanding of whatever it is that happens. And we're sure that the concerns of the rural residents have been addressed. I think that's a real worthy thing. I don't know that maybe, just listening to some of the comments that made by the different representatives, that we might be able to do something a little bit different than this, but still accomplish pretty much the same thing. Because I think that it's something that we should do.
Okay. Representative Herman.
Doug, would there be anybody in your department now that's going to pull together some of this information and look at historical, what the Rural Development Council did and some other information? Because I know we started kind of gathering stuff, and there is a lot of information.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Herman, I suspect that that would be a good first step to do that, to sort of do an analysis of what baseline data has already been collected and developed, and which of that it may still be good and which maybe is somewhat dated and should not really be given as much weight. And that, I think that's a good start for any kind of group starting up like that, so I think that's a good idea. There has been a lot of work done, and I know we don't do as much as we used to. I mean, it's a reflection of the budget cuts that we've had, but I know back in the days when we had a lot more, a lot larger budgets, more staff, and frankly more discretionary time to do those types of things, we did do a lot of those types of projects. And I think we did produce some good, valid documents, and that I think even may be very helpful in doing the interim work on House Bill 1 and other things. Before the meeting, I was talking to Mr. Hefferle about that too, about a report that came out of a gathering that was held, I think, in 1980 or something, 80-something. So, and it was a good report, at least showing about the problems of service delivery in the unorganized borough. So those types of things, I think, are very helpful and would be something that we would want to look at what's available and what has been done before.
Another thing too, when Sheffield was in office, he brought together all the fisheries groups, different groups, and sat down and tried to write a policy, and it came out in the form of a book report. And there's all those things in there. I don't know how many were carried out, And same with the whole bottom fish issue. We have information on the bottom fish issue to fill this room. And when I was chairman of the special committee on fisheries, I tried to pull all that together, but it was impossible to do that. It's just such a big task, and there's all that kind of stuff. And some of the things that the administration could do is meet with the Bush caucus too, and look at the hiring practices the state has. There's just all kinds of things that you could spell out that we could do and resolve some things. But in the long run, this might be good.
Let me ask one question without putting you on the spot. If we would put that bill in together with some other bills which we are planning to work on the interim, like House Bill 1 and so on, would that create any heartburn? If you don't want to answer, just let me.
Well, I think we recognize that to get this bill enacted this year is asking a lot. I think the idea is a good one, and frankly, we're looking at trying to get some funds together to do this, some of this type of work, even though the council and statute wouldn't be together. I know we've been working with through the governor's office with Senator Hensley about putting some funds in to do some type of interim work, and not necessarily our department, but maybe more the office of the governor. But I think we understand that this is, in the whole scheme of things, where this stands, and that I can't say that this is a high priority of the administration. We've got many, many other bills ahead of this one that we would like to see now.
Okay.
You better not say that it's not a high priority.
I got the message. Okay, thank you. Any more questions or any comments? If not, we just work on that. And then there was a comments. We adjourn at 3:53.
What are your plans for the interim?